Welcome to the Lister Health Talks podcast, hosted by Lieutenant Colonel Garrett Holt, the commander of Lister Army Health Clinic and the health services director at Fort Novosel. Each month, listen in as the team focuses their discussion on relevant, relatable health content that empowers your health and the readiness of the force. In today's show, we focus on the Exceptional Family Member Program and what you need to know as you prepare for your next change of duty station.
Well, hello, Fort Novosel. This is Lieutenant Colonel Garrett Holt, the commander for Lister Army Health Clinic and the host for the Lister Health Talks podcast. We are really working to make sure that we provide you content that stands the test of time. And today is certainly no exception. I'm just really, really thrilled to invite our Exceptional Family Member Program coordinators here. Unlike last year when our team was working or beginning to get into the summer, instead of just one mighty, mighty coordinator holding down, we now have two that are specifically here to make sure that our team is taking care of not only those that are rolling out the door, as you'll hear in a little bit, but also those who are coming in to Fort Novosel. So I want to jump right in. My guest here today is Miss Sarah Smith and Miss Whitney Sutton, our EFMP coordinators. Welcome to you both. Hey, so let's first kind of set the stage. Sarah, I'm going to start with you. Tell me what the Exceptional Family Member Program is, because in my mind, you know, I've got folks that know about it because they're in the program, but there might be some other folks that are like, hey, I'm new to the Army or I'm a new family member. Why would I even care about this? What's the EFMP?
So essentially, EFMP is making sure that our family members that require any type of specialty medical services or any type of education services at school, make sure those services are available wherever that family may be stationed. When we do our family member travel screens, even if our family members are currently enrolled in EFMP, we're just trying to make sure there are no big changes, that we don't need to do any updates. So everybody gets screened.
Okay. No, that's great. I think one of the things that I hear you saying and that I know to be true is it's unlike a lot of military health system actually has a lot of great things about it. Everything's great about it. I'm biased, of course, but one of the great benefits of it is this program that really helps to case manage those family members that may need a little bit extra care, as it specifically relates, because our work is all over the world and sometimes to very not severely austere, but sometimes austere, but sometimes not common areas, and not every area has exactly what you need to know. I mean, Lister Army Health Clinic, I'm biased, I know, but is the finest MTF, I think. But, you know, we certainly don't have like neurosurgery here or, you know, neurologists inside the building. And so that's where our program kind of helps. So, Whitney, what's, I'm going to move over to you. What's my first way of entry? Why would I need to come see a EFMP?
Well, like Sarah said before, if your family has any chronic medical conditions, is receiving any specialty care or taking daily medications, mm-hmm. you would need to come see us and we could look over your medical records and see if you qualify for enrollment into our program. And then if, obviously, if your service member comes down on OCONUS order and you're going to travel overseas, everyone in your family has to be screened, whether they're enrolled in the program or not enrolled in the program. And we could get you the information that you need and let you know all the documentation we would need to be able to process those packets.
Oh, wow. So I'm guessing at this time of the year, I'm just hearing you say overseas, and some people are probably getting ramped up to move to their overseas assignment, be it wherever it is. You're probably starting to see a little bit more work.
Yes, sir. It's very busy right now, so everybody's getting ready to go on their way, PCSing, but definitely our overseas screening is ramping up right now. So yeah. The quicker they can get us those physicals and just come in and talk to us and make sure we have the documentation, the quicker we can get that process for them so they don't get delayed on their orders.
You know, a lot of those things are just ramping up now, and I think in the back of your mind, you know, there's people that are maybe just starting. They're just finding out now where they're going. You know, it may not be flight students, but, you know, other people. We have other folks besides flight on this post, right? But, and so if you're in a place where you're going overseas and I don't have an enrolled exceptional family member, I'm still going to need to come see you. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Everybody in your family that you intend to travel with you will have to be screened. They have to have a physical that's been done within the last year. Mm-hmm. That makes the physical valid. And then we will be able to use that physical. Even if it's from outside, you can bring that physical in and we can use that. We can scan it in and our medical director can review it. But everybody in the family has to be screened that's going to travel.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, yeah, and that's good because good to know, because timing gets very stressful very quickly. We've moved more than a handful of times in our family, I know, and it, each time gets a little bit easier, but each time has its own new bag of stresses, and all of it has to do with time, right? Because you're also still doing your work, but you know, I think it sounds like, you know, we ought to get in early. Now, what about one more question for you before I go over to Ms. Smith, but what about CONUS folks? People are going, and for those that are listening that may not be familiar, CONUS is the continental U.S. Basically, you're going to the lower 48 states, and then OCONUS is outside of it. For even if you're not military, you're just new to, or you are military, but you're new to it. Good terms to know. So if you're going to the lower 48, CONUS, as we like to call it, continental U.S., am I also coming to see you, or what does that mean?
You would need to come see us if your family has any chronic medical conditions or taken any medication, so we can ensure that those services are going to be available at the next duty station. But also, if you have someone enrolled, if the enrollment is going to expire within 6 months, then we would need to do an update prior to being able to PCS.
What are some tips that you tell for the team out there? Okay, hey, I might be needing, or I definitely know I need to come see EFMP before I start moving out. What are some tips that you have for our listeners?
Just make sure that they have physicals completed within the last year. And if any of our family members have requested any type of referrals, they need to go ahead, schedule that appointment, go through with that, so we'll have the records, because we will see the open referral. And last but not least is make sure that all outside medical records are sent back to Lister. If it's an off-post patient, for example, TRICARE Select, we'll just go ahead, we'll work with that family, let them know what exactly we need. One big misconception is our family members that receive care off post, that they would have to come here to the clinic, Lister Army Health Clinic. That is false. They can continue to see their primary care provider that's off post. We just need to get a copy of that physical.
Okay. So my next question is, this sounds all well and good if I'm first getting introduced to this, but I know, and you know, that sometimes there is some frustration. Sometimes is probably an understatement, right? Sometimes there is some frustration. We'll leave it at that. And it comes in some kind of tone of, you just don't understand. I think, you know, one thing that I, being in the job for now more than a couple of days, you know, I get a fair amount of attention in this realm as well, and interest of my engagement. And I think one thing that, you know, our listeners have to say, and I'm interested on how your thoughts are, and is, you know, we're not here to say no. We're here to help get you to yes as best we can, but not at the expense of the care for your family members.
That's correct.
That's what we're here for.
Yes. We're not trying to stall anyone's career. We're not trying to stop them from getting promoted. But as you said, we want to make sure that care is available wherever that family goes, so that we can keep the family together as a unit.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's right on the money. That's when I think it's important for our listeners, particularly if you're in the EFMP world or going overseas, you know, you've got to always assess risk for your family. And that can get very difficult. Having been a commander now a couple of times myself, certainly as a commissioned officer, that's the name of the game as a leader, is you weigh risk all the time. You're probably very good at it as a leader, and I'm sure you're very good at it as a family, but you need to be able to really have those hard discussions with yourself to say, hey, what's the right thing to be able to take care of them? Because the military health system's vast, and
yes,
man,
sir,
we have so many capabilities and capacity across the world, and the extension of that, of course, is our network partners who help us. You know, that's going to be something that we have to consider, and we really want to impress on our listeners. Whitney, I'm going to turn over to you. So let's say I've got this kind of one we hear from time to time. Okay, so I'm moving somewhere. I know the needs of my family members. I've already done my research. I know the capability exists in the area. Why won't you guys help me get to yes? What would you say to them?
I would say that, yes, I understand that you have done your research, and the TRICARE list is very helpful to our patients in knowing what network providers they can reach out to, but that list is also always changing, always updating. Providers come and go. Providers go in and out of the network. So the list, as helpful as it is, to reach out to us and let us help you ensure that those services are there and that the wait times are not out of the rim of the time that your family member would need services. Also, we have the case a lot where the patients will call the facility and they'll say, oh yes, we'll take you. We'll take you as a patient. What they don't inform them is that there is a 8 to 12 month wait list to even get in. So that causes a huge delay in care And when you're talking about developmental care or behavioral health care, you can't afford to have those delays. It looks really good on paper that we have all these services, and not just here, everywhere, but that's not always what's true. Ms. Smith does a really good job. She calls around to our facilities here quarterly, if not more, to check our wait times. And I mean, she'll attest to, you will see them change. She'll call and then 2 months later call back, or 3 months later call back, and it's went from 2 months to 8 months in that short period of time. So we just really have to be diligent, and we just want our families to know that we are working for you. Like, we are going to call, we are going to do our research, and we're going to give you the right information.
I heard a case once where we had a service member who said, I literally am looking at, I'm moving into a house that we are right across the street from the capability that my family needs. And I know, I said, I know, but, you know, in contacting with them, you know, sometimes some of these, you know, go figure, behavior health, developmental, that requires a relationship, right? And so when it's not just about one appointment, right? It's not acute care. This is routine, long-term care that they'll need over time. And yeah, they might get better, but, you know, for the needs that they need today, you know, maybe not the case. That's very helpful. I want to go back, and I should have asked this question before, but on the referrals piece. Mm-hmm. And I just want to make sure that I understand and really impress to our listeners, you know, when we're talking about getting those referrals in, what's our challenges there? Because we, you know, the Lister Clinic here, you know, our providers are going to put in the referrals. Our referral management team is second to none. They're going to process it very quickly to make sure you're able to make that appointment quickly. When we say, let's complete those referrals, what does that really mean? If I'm one of our spouses that's kind of working through a referral for their kiddo or self, what does that mean?
So we essentially want to know, after that appointment, is there follow-up care that's required, or that person does not qualify for additional care? And that will help us determine, okay, no, you don't have to be enrolled. And if they do require that additional follow-up care, then okay, we're going to go ahead and get you enrolled in the program, because now we know wherever you go, we need to make sure that's available for you at the frequency that you require.
No, that's helpful. I think, you know, sometimes too with referrals, and I'm guilty of it as well. You get busy. I got it. You know, I'm definitely in that. And sometimes it can be a little unnerving too, because that idea of, you know, maybe you've been a relatively healthy individual, or, you know, your kiddos have been healthy along the way, and then all of a sudden we have this new referral and you're like, oh my gosh, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. You know, and what does that really look like? We just encourage you that go beyond it. We work with our network partners all the time to make sure that you're getting the best care possible. So, you know, definitely want to encourage that. Let me also ask this question on referrals. Let's say I'm a family member taking my family to their referral. And Whitney Mail, you can start, and Sarah fill in. What's some things that I need to talk to the provider about when I'm in that appointment to make sure that's included in the documentation?
Like Ms. Smith said before, how often are they going to have to see that provider? Because that can really affect the places that you can go. Whether do you have to see them once a year, twice a year, or are you needing to see them quarterly? Because that's kind of what our algorithm goes off of, is the time that you have to see them. Also, if they, like, what medications they would need. Because when you talk about going OCONUS, there are certain medications that they will not be able to get if they go OCONUS. And to any kind of equipment, if they needed any kind of medical equipment, we would need the documentation for that as well.
Yeah.
Also, on the referral part, just reminding the patients to call the number, because you're going to get a letter in the mail in 7 to 10 business days, but to call that number and not just to sit around and wait for them to contact you, because that clinic has 30 to 60 business days to contact you. So if you call us, call PCC, call the help desk, call the appointment line, they'll get you in touch with somebody. We can get you that referral information.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Sarah, anything to add on that?
Just to piggyback off the medication, anyone that is going to Europe or the Pacific, such as Japan or Korea, even if it's ADHD medication specifically. Okay. So even if your PCM manages you, they provide those refills. When you get overseas, some of those countries require a behavior health provider to go ahead and issue those to you.
You know, and speaking of that, I was in an overseas assignment one time involved softly with EFMP, and as I kind of dig into the thinking about behavioral health, you know, it's not just sometimes that the capability is there, it's sometimes how different nations practice medicine. You know, I think one thing that I also am gaining from this is really a challenge to really all patients, whether you're EFMP or not. You know, you have a responsibility and to be a part of your healthcare experience. Just the same as if a provider prescribes you something to take on a certain regimen, do it, right? If a referral, if a specialist says, hey, we need to really do all of these things, don't, you know, definitely take ownership of it and navigate as best you can, but don't try to compete with their clinical expertise or and certainly don't willfully or by some kind of negligence go outside of it, you know, really take ownership of it. So one other thing before I give it back around the room one more time is we are one arm of EFMP at Lister. We have, of course, our EFMP coordinators here. We also have the medical director for EFMP inside of our halls who helps to make the hard clinical decisions for us in their own right. But we're not the only ones in the EFMP world, right, Sarah? Who else at Fort Nova so is involved in EFMP?
So we do have our ACS EFMP coordinator. She goes ahead and she can get our families in touch with respite care, any type of support groups. She actually provides a lot of the services in the area, can get you in touch with those people. Playgroup, special movies.
Oh, wow. That's great. So it's beyond just the clinical piece. It's that educational piece, proactive education.
Yes, sir.
Getting after stuff. That's fantastic. Okay. So Sarah, we've got, let's say I'm a spouse and I say spouses, the sponsors are ultimately responsible, but the spouses obviously played a leading role. Okay. I just found out I'm going OCONUS, again, outside of the continental U.S., not in the lower 48. I'm going to move there next for my next assignment this summer. What's my first step?
After the sponsor service member attends their levy brief, that sponsor is going to go ahead and initiate a package in Enterprise EFMP. What our families can do is they need to schedule physicals with their providers. If those physicals have been completed within the last year, they just need to contact Whitney or I, let us know those were completed, if they were completed at Lister Army Health Clinic, if they're seeing off post or outside of Fort Nova Cells area, just go ahead, contact us. We'll get you a blank physical form if needed. After that, contact Whitney and I back, and we will just finish walking you through the steps. But the physical is that main part, and we'll give you any additional information if we need it.
That's great. You know what? And I'm just thinking of other Army processes that I've been through or military processes. And sometimes I need a specific form or something with regards to my physical. But what I'm hearing you say is, yeah, there might be that. But if I've had a physical in the past year for my kiddos, that should be sufficient?
That's correct. Yes, okay. Sir. Yes, sir. If it's missing anything, we'll work with that family to get what we need.
Okay. Okay. So the physical, you said 1 year past or previously, what's that 1 year timeline look like? Is that, you know, from when my report date, or is that from when I'm talking with you guys? What's the 1 year?
The 1 year is from the time that the sponsor initiates the package and we talk to the family. Now, if, for example, it's March now, your physical is good through May, we will use that as your current physical. We do recommend, though, in May, you still follow up, get that annual physical. So when you go to that next duty station, it's going to be current.
Circle back around. How do I get in touch with our team here, with you and Sarah?
You can email us at our Fort Nova Sill email. Okay. That comes to me and Sarah. We both monitor that. You can also email us at our individual emails. Those are online on the Lister page under EFMP. Or you can call us at our offices. Our numbers are listed on the website as well. Or on Wednesdays and Thursdays, we are open all day, even through the lunch hour, for walk-ins. And on Tuesdays, we offer appointments.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, and I know if I'm listening, sometimes like, why don't you just have a walk-in all the time? Well, at some point, it's you also got to sit down and get the work done, right? So, but I appreciate you guys giving it. And of course, you know, for our listeners, we make sure that publish all those resources on our Facebook and our websites to make sure that's easily accessible to you. So that's fantastic. So we've made it through a lot of content. I know we could probably fill this full an hour, but I'm trying to keep it to a certain degree. So I want to cycle back through. Sarah, I'll start with you. Whitney, I'll finish with you. You can kind of give me your final thoughts, any parting words for our listeners.
So our top three things that we need you to take away from this podcast are: make sure your families keep their physicals current. If your families have referrals to any outside providers, please attend those appointments. Make sure those notes are sent back to the clinic. And the third one, make sure those medical records are sent back to Lister.
That's great. And Whitney, how about you?
Just that Ms. Smith and I are both here to help you guys. We're friendly faces, and you can come in and talk to us. You can email us. We're always going to help you in the best ways that we can.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you both for your time today. I know I'm taking you away from a little bit of actually getting the work done, but this is so important. I think our listeners have hopefully gained as much out of it as I have, to not only hear your competence and your care, but your concern for them making sure that they get to where they are and where they need to be, but more importantly, that their families are taken care of along the way. It's an important quality of life priority, certainly inside of the Army, here at Fort Novacell and Army Aviation Center of Excellence, but also at Lister Army Health Clinic and the Military Health System. So all very important. Hey, we want to challenge the listeners out there that, you know, I also want to look at the leaders as well. If you're listening in on this, you know, now is the time to get engaged with EFMP. You know, we're probably going to publish this podcast, you know, right in the thick of PCS preparation. But really, if you're listening to it sometime else in the year, you know, having a plan on what the PCS ramp up really looks like. You know, do that backwards planning that you and I have all been through in our training. Really backwards plan. Hey, I'm leaving on this date. I need orders by this date, or, you know, I need to prepare. Or maybe it's back over to our ACS team. Hey, you know, here's some additional needs outside of the clinical world that we need to be able to engage with. You know, our family members are incredibly important to us. You really cannot, as you go throughout your career more and more, you are going to have to rely on them, and they're relying on you just as much to make sure that your career is successful. But it's not just about the career. We know that you've raised a hand to support the United States of America, and we are all in this together. We want to make sure that you're supported in that regard. So just want to thank our listeners again. If you haven't already started to follow us on the many ways that you listen to podcasts, I encourage you to do so. This is Lieutenant Colonel Holt signing off, reminding you that your healthiest chapter is ahead and that the only way is forward.
The Lister Health Talks podcast is produced by the Lister Army Health Clinic Public Affairs Office at Fort Novacell. Catch our April episode as our guests join us for a discussion on Alcohol Awareness Month. Stay healthy, Fort Novacell.